Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. Ladies and gentlemen, a new nut hath arrived. April ushers in the return of not just spring, but a new Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a sample pack of Brewpub Jerky. Jerky, expertly crafted to drink with beer. We've also got a sample pack of Renewed Chaga Chino to make sure your coffee isn't just giving you jitters in the morning. When you're putting shrooms or snickerdoodle coffee mate in your cup of joe, make sure you rinse it after. This month, we've got a mug to remind you to do just that after you're done. And finally, you know the guys from Caviar Farm well enough by now. And this month, you'll get a $25 off coupon to be used site-wide at thecaviarfarm.com. We're not sure how we did it, but this entire box is just $25 at CorollaDrinks.com. Sign up for one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com. This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Garagus is where?
Denver, Colorado, just finished a hearing that next week I may be able to talk about. As of right now, I can't, but a very good day yesterday.
You should, your next book should be called Next Week You May Be Able to Read This Book.
And it would be all blank pages. I love that.
But they'd have to buy the next one.
Abby Hoffman had steal this book. Mine will be read the next book. So I love it. I was talking to somebody on one of the stations. I don't know if it was News Nation or Newsmax, and they were asking about the slap heard around the world. And I said, my podcast partner for Reasonable Doubt, nobody's going to come up on stage and slap him because he's classically trained and will counterpunch right back at you.
Well, thank you. But I probably would have just stood there like a stooge and taken it, truth be told. There is a book, and Gary can look at it. There's precedent for your wordless, letterless book.
Really?
Yeah, there was a book written by one of the guys over at the Daily Wire, and it was called something like, the left's greatest arguments against, whatever it was. And it was just a blank, everything was blank. And it sold thousands, tens of thousands of, it was like, it may have even been a bestseller. in the vein of the Pet Rock.
It topped Amazon's bestseller list. It was called Reasons to Vote for Democrats, a Comprehensive Guide, and it consisted of 266 blank pages.
And it was on the top of the Amazon list. So there's precedent, as you would say in your parlance, Mark, for your blank book. All right.
I think I'm going to write that book today.
What? Well, it's already written. Just find a bindery. Is there any part of the NFL and or Denver that you can speak of?
Not yet. So next week I can. I can just say I've had a couple of good days here and hopefully can talk about it next week. Other than that, I'm going to leave it alone.
What subjects are on your mind? I know Gary's loaded with them.
Yeah, Gary's got a lineup and I'm interested. There's been so many. They're winding up the Governor Whitmer kidnap case today. They're doing all kinds of talk about Trump and all kinds of expansion of Hunter Biden's investigation. But there was this case earlier this week that got very little attention, I think, relatively speaking, because it's quite a stunning use of the criminal justice system. Gary, I'm referring to it, I think it was in Tennessee, a nurse who was convicted. You want to run it down? Because I hadn't heard anything about it in real time.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the case of a nurse named Redonda Vaught. and she was a Nashville nurse. She worked at the Charlene. It was the death of Charlene Murphy at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. She apparently used a digital system and was mistakenly given a drug that was not what was intended. She was trying to give Murphy a dose of Versed, and if I'm trying to find the exact name of the other drug, but she ended up using a digital kiosk system for drug distribution, and allegedly she was intended to type the entire name in, and instead she typed in a few letters, it self-populated, and she ended up giving the patient another drug that ended up killing her.
Well, to me, that is partially on the software creators too, because you're not supposed to have the autofill when it comes to drugs, considering many will start with the same couple of letters. And we're all, you know, used to that when we're texting or what have you, just to pop, hit it. That word came up. We don't need to finish it. That seems like a real glitch in the system.
I completely agree. So I just found the name of the other drug. So she was trying to give Versed, which is a sedative, but instead she injected verconium, which left the patient unable to breathe. I believe it is it induces some form of paralysis that led to her breathing.
So what's she being charged with? Because
she was charged and convicted. I mean, it's stunning to me. The idea that you're going to attach criminal liability to this, obviously, it's a great tragedy. Obviously, there's civil liability. Obviously, there's probably the licensing authorities have got something to say, and I'm sure in this case already acted. But you're going to attach criminal liability to this is just, I think that's a bridge too far. Gary, she was convicted after a trial that, right?
Yeah, she was convicted after a trial on two charges of reckless homicide and impaired adult abuse.
Again, this is, well, first off, I mean, there's a big time case against if it is as stated, there's a big time case against the autofill and the software and whatever company's behind that.
I agree with you based on what I have said to you thus far, but apparently it was also alleged that there were several fail safes built into the software that she disregarded. So I'm not sure if their liability is quite as robust as the way I had originally told you.
Well, it can't be just as we've originally discussed it, because that's correct. A miscarriage of justice. She was probably trained to do X, Y, and Z, and she just did X.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, even if she ignored, for whatever reasons, a number of fail safes, what did they end up convicting her on, Gary?
Involuntary homicide and aggravated adult abuse, I believe.
What's the difference between involuntary homicide and manslaughter?
Excuse me, reckless homicide. Reckless homicide.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Different places call it different things. But the homicide is the death of another at the hands of a human. And then you can, the gradients are, if it's with malice, it's murder. And then there's degrees of murder. If there's no malice and it's negligence, or if there's mitigation of malice, then it becomes manslaughter. But it's still, to me, even if you could charge this case, why would you charge this case? I don't understand the end game of a criminal justice system convicting this nurse. And then presumably she still hasn't been sentenced yet, right, Gary?
No, that's going to be a couple months down the road. I think they said summer.
Well, there's another case of another nurse from, Wake Forest?
Correct.
I think. I don't know if you heard about this one, but it's on the same subject, basically, which is, I'm saying nurse, could be nurse, intern, doctor, something, but
medical student
who was going to draw some blood. And I guess the guy she was going to draw some blood from made fun of her pronouns on her badge, on her name tag.
Why'd she have she, her?
Yeah. It, again.
Yes, it was she, her.
You just put the fucking name on there, you woke retards. But either way, she had it on there. So this guy made some quip or comment about it. Then she intentionally struck a part of him and missed his vein, and then went back and got his vein. And then took to Twitter, I guess, or went on Facebook or something and said, hey, this guy made fun of me, so I gave him an extra jab. And
correct. She tweeted it. So it's not like this is disputable.
Yes. Probably not a good plan.
That wasn't a good plan in the least. And by the way, did she get criminally charged? Because that's kind of a fact pattern that I would say I can understand criminal charges. There.
Wake Forest sort of said they'd handle it. So yeah. Probably nothing. But I mean, is this the kind of thing where Wake Forest just goes, we'll handle this internally, meaning who gives a shit? Or can the recipient of the double jab go, I'd like to press charges?
Oh, the recipient could clearly press charges, and kind of exhibit A of the prosecution's case against the nurse is going to be the tweet that shows deliberate, intentional violation of a unlawful touching.
Yeah, so it'll probably, now that it's gotten a little bit of press, I'm guessing somebody will step up or some ambitious DA will, intervene at some point or something. But it initially was just sort of like Wake Forest said they were going to deal with it, which I.
Well, you know, it reminds me, we can also, we'll segue a little bit into Will Smith and Chris Rock. You know, there's been so many musical stories, if you will, coming out. First, the Academy reported that they asked Will Smith to leave and he wouldn't leave. Then there were reports that Chris Rock didn't want to press charges. Now the report is that the LAPD was there ready to arrest Will Smith.
Small correction. LA sheriffs, I think. Or
sheriffs? Okay.
Really? Because that also surprised me, because that shouldn't be sheriff's jurisdiction. That is in, if it's at the theater, I assume it was at the theater that's in Hollywood, that's LAPD.
I must have misunderstood you. The sheriffs were who visited his home later. That's where I thought you were going. I'm sorry.
They visited Smith's home. Yes.
The home. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The night of, now the report is that they were ready to arrest him out of the Academy Awards, which gave me kind of Chris Brown post-traumatic stress, because I remember getting that call many, many years ago when they were claiming they were going to arrest him on stage at the Grammys. I've gotten into this argument as recently as last night with a former prosecutor who said, well, it doesn't matter if Rock presses charges. Every 100 million people watched it, or maybe more, and the city attorney should now prosecute, to which my response is, well, the city attorney might want to prosecute because he's running for mayor. But the fact remains that on a misdemeanor slapping like that, generally there is in the law a thing called civil compromise, which means that the so-called victim or complaining witness has got the ability to say, write me a check, I'm not going to press charges, and the court can permanently stay the action. So this idea that somehow people keep talking about, they saw our former DA talking about it, not Jackie Lacey, but Steve Cooley. And Steve was positing that the city attorney should just file anyway on the case, whether or not Chris Rock wants to pursue it.
Are you allowed to say, write me a check and I won't pursue it criminally?
If it's a misdemeanor, and if you cite 1377 and 1378 of the Penal Code, and you say, this is the kind of case that can be civilly compromised, that's the term that we use, and it's a misdemeanor, yes, you can do it. Could also, I've had cases where they started off as a felony, the judge is reduced it to a misdemeanor at the probable cause or preliminary hearing, and then you did a civil compromise at that point. So yes, you could do that. And that's where this case would end up. So it seems like an awful waste of criminal justice resources if you're making the argument that I want the police to pursue this, even though the recipient of the slap, the slappy, Mr. Rock, doesn't want anything to happen. And do you blame him? Can you imagine the circus that would be?
Yeah, I'm sure he would like to just put this all in his rearview mirror. And then what about the optics of the attorneys, the city attorneys, DAs, going after Will Smith 10 minutes after they made their declaration of, hey, if you have a fancy watch or you drive a fancy car, keep it at home. Don't go out, you know, walk serpentine to the mailbox. If you take one route to the restaurant, take another route home. The optics would be bad that they're burning calories on Will Smith while simultaneously telling the rest of the inhabitants of Los Angeles to put on the Timex and leave the Rolex at home.
Well, you know, it's been reported that in the context of the recall of our DA, George Gascon, that in actuality, I just read this morning, he's filing as many felonies as ever. He's not filing misdemeanor so-called quality of life cases as much as he has been done before. But an interesting statistic is that LAPD / LA Sheriff, Gary can correct me if I'm wrong as to which agency, but their closure rate, meaning when they solve a case and then take it to the DA, on homicides has dropped from in the 70s to in the 40s. And that's stunning to me. And why that isn't an issue, I don't know. Because if you aren't solving the crimes to take to a prosecutor to file in the first place, then there's a problem there as well. What's the answer or what's the explanation for that?
I would probably say more homicides and maybe less people working on them. I mean, that's my first thought. What is what's the recall with Gascon? How's that going?
Two of the candidates, I believe, I know Caruso is one because he's written a check for $50,000 to the recall campaign. And I think the other is the city councilman. I don't know if he still is from down in San Pedro. I think he also has endorsed the recall. So if I were to speculate, and prognosticate, I would say it probably makes the ballot.
Yeah.
I think they get enough signatures.
Yeah, I agree. Gary?
The city councilman you're talking about is Joe Buscano, and I believe he is still in support of it. And yes, you are correct. It's 71% down to 40% from the LAPD.
In what period of time does it say?
That's 2019 to now?
Seems like a lot.
I mean, that's a drop. That's a stunning drop of... And I mean, you can't blame it all on the lack of cops.
And murders overall up 77% in that same time period.
Murders are up 77%.
77%.
All right.
Yeah. But I love how guys always say, Adam, you probably see this. They always couch it in murders are up. Okay. And then that's kind of like, but assaults and rapes and others are down 7%. You know, yeah. But we've got, 70% more murders. Well, I don't know. If the assaults are down slightly, but murders are up dramatically, maybe guys are just finishing the job.
And maybe a lot of the dips are just unreported stuff. Like people have figured out pretty quickly that there's not a lot the cops are going to do in LA. So just don't report it. So that would create a dip, but it'd be an artificial dip. It wouldn't be that the activity stopped. It'd just be like the reports of it stopped. So,
I know, wouldn't you love somebody to actually do a really good deep dive of analyzing the data to take into account and control for whether or not in actuality are less actual crimes or if it's less reporting of the crimes, and then also correlate whether or not the robbery homicide sections, which are tasked with investigating the murders, whether they've been cut back or whether they've been amplified. I just think there's a whole lot of analysis that can go into the data before people could kind of wave it around and blame this guy or that guy.
Well, look, just from a sort of cheap seats view of the whole thing, I think if you would have got hold of many citizens of Los Angeles and probably California and many other cities and states, and you would have got hold of them 10 years ago and said, oh, somebody broke the window of my SUV and they stole my laptop and my briefcase. 10 years ago, everyone's mode would have been call the cops. That number's down dramatically in 2022. I don't know anyone who would call the cops if they got their window broken to their SUV and their laptop stolen, because the message has been sent. You know, the first three times I asked my mom if I could go to Disneyland, I had some hope. Eventually, I stopped asking. She convinced me that this was a fool's errand and we're never going to Disneyland. So I went, all right, it's not worth asking.
You learned your lesson.
Yeah, lesson learned.
It's an interesting time we're living in, because when you mentioned the fact that the authorities are now saying, law enforcement saying, don't wear your watches out, don't do this, don't do that. This replicates what was going on in the late 80s and early 90s, because back then, it's one of the reasons I haven't worn jewelry since that time, because, okay, great, you may have a Rolex watch. What's the point of it? You're now a magnet for somebody to either conk you over the head or shoot you and take the watch. And I've known many guys who've been the victims of that kind of crime, so it doesn't make any sense to wear a watch. I don't even understand these guys who wear these, what's the name of the watch? The DeMille watch, which is, you know,
Richard Millie.
Millie, yeah. What is that? $500,000 for a watch?
For the entry level one.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, it's crazy.
On a personal note, and I know you participate in Lent, so you give things up. As an Armo, giving up gaudy jewelry before you leave the house versus giving up being dipped in cologne, what is it? What's a bigger struggle, Mark? I want you to be honest.
Well, I will tell you this, because we had this discussion, not those exact terms, but what is the toughest thing about Lent? Personally, alcohol is not, because I think Lent is the right period of time to give up alcohol. You know, they say the one organ that regenerates is the liver. So it's a good thing, I think, every year to give up liquor for that period of time. I will give a shout out to Vinny. I just think veganism has so many issues. And when you do Lent, you start to see it. Your skin starts to, you know, get stuff that you just can't even remember. And there you have a whole host of problems when you cut out everything and you just go vegan. I had not thought about the dipping in cologne, but maybe next year I'll say no cologne and no deodorant. Maybe for that.
Just go with the cologne and maybe the jewelry. Yeah, I once had a junior college psychology professor said once in front of the class when I was 19, and it stuck with me. He said, if you got a fake Rolex and you got rolled in the park while wearing your fake Rolex for your Rolex, wouldn't you feel silly? And I was like, yeah, I guess I would. And that was kind of the end of me and any aspirations about wearing a Rolex. All right, our next story is what? Let me tease it, Gary.
Well, we can watch some video of our vice president in various settings, and or we can talk about the trial in the Michigan case.
Well, we'll do both.
I think we go to the both, yeah.
We'll go to both. First, I'll tell you about... Yeah, let me hit cerebral here. Psychiatrist visits can cost up to $500 per session, and traditional therapy can be over $100. That adds up to thousands a year. Cerebral, online mental health service that offers prescription, medication, counseling, and therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. One of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships meds straight to your door. Unlimited messaging with your care team. Connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through your laptop or Cerebral's mobile app. Simone Biles is their chief impact officer. She knows something about this subject. She's a huge advocate for reducing stigma around getting treatment. Am I right, Gary?
You are absolutely right. Listeners of this program can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at GetCerebral.com/doubt. Go to GetCerebral.com/doubt for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission to make quality mental health care accessible and affordable for all.
All right. We'll hear Kamala's word salad. Is that her talking about Jamaican relief?
Yeah, it is. I'll put it up here for everyone to listen.
We also recognize, just as it has been in the United States for Jamaica, one of the issues that has been presented as an issue that is economic in the way of its impact has been the pandemic. So to that end, we are announcing today also that we will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to, I believe, what is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
That could have been solved in nine seconds.
I don't understand this. I've known her for many years. I have watched her in the Senate when she became a senator, cross-examine people. And I keep trying to give the benefit of the doubt as to what is going on. And I've come to the conclusion that either she can't read a teleprompter, and I confess I'm not a guy who has any skill set to read a teleprompter, or somebody in her inner circle is trying to frag her or something, because I don't understand how repeatedly, I mean, how many times have we seen this in the last 3 months?
Well, there's another famous one of what you have to do with COVID is what we're doing when we're doing it every day that we do it. And you're right. This is a good point you brought up, which is the teleprompter is its own skill, regardless of your ability to read. Now, I, when I got into the business, couldn't read and didn't have the skill to read the teleprompter. So that was sort of a 1-2 punch. But the teleprompter is only repetition. There's no weekend course on reading the teleprompter. There's no crash course on reading the teleprompter. It is years of reading the teleprompter that makes you comfortable reading the teleprompter. I did Tucker Carlson last night, right? And he's out here in LA. So I went out and went to the set in LA. And
Culver City?
Sort of that no man's land between Culver City and Santa Monica.
I know where it is. Yeah.
And you've been there. It's got right. that. You walk up the stairs and you go down the stairs and everything's down in the basement, blah, blah, blah. And I walked in, you know, the show goes hot at 5. It's live at 5 our time. And if he's not in that seat at 5, it's just going to be dead air. It's like running a radio show. You know, you just go. And so I walked in at about my call time was 5. The show starts at 5. My hit was like 5:35. I walked in.
I hope while you're telling this story, Gary's finding some of the tape.
I'm sure. I walked.
Okay.
Oh, what, me and Tucker?
I was working on finding that famous Kamala clip. I got that.
Tucker's fine. There's nothing groundbreaking there. What's interesting is I walked in at about 4:45. I walked in. Tucker's in the makeup chair at 4:45. By the way, no hair preparation, a little bit of powder. And then I go, all right, well, I'll go to the bathroom. I walk past. I go to the bathroom. I walk out of the bathroom. It's now... You know, it's 4:55. And I come out of the bathroom, I walk in the hall, there he is. And he's his usual friendly self. Hey, Adam, how are you? Hey, what's going on? And I go, yeah, Tucker, I got a couple thoughts on this, and he's talking about that and this and that. But then it kind of dawns on me, you're about 3 minutes away from going hot, and we're upstairs, the studio's downstairs. And it's a little bit of walk, and we're just standing in the hall, like jibber jabbering. And
that stairwell is—it's not just a short flight. That's a long.
It's a walk. It's a little distance between where we're standing and you being in the captain's chair, looking into the camera. And so I was like, I thought to myself, "Huh, we're cutting it real close." But he's going to go down and sit in the chair. And he's going to read his 15-minute opening monologue. And by the way, I was sitting in the room watching the monitor with the prompter, you know, scrolling. It's a lot of verbiage. A lot. People don't know what 12, 15 minutes of nonstop talking is. That's a lot of verbiage. But I also realized he wrote it himself, and he forwarded it. He showed up for his 5 o'clock show at 4:40. That's when he was getting out of the car. So he typed the thing the whole day. Then he sent it ahead. Then they loaded it in the prompter. And when his ass hit that chair, he started 80 seconds later. Now, he is very skilled, but it's only through repetition. Nobody is born with that skill. Some guys like Jimmy Kimmel are far better at it than us by nature because they're good readers and they're comfortable on their feet and so on and so forth. But that is a pure repetition thing. And if you didn't have a few years of being an anchor at a news station or a weather person or doing copy on the radio or something, you don't really have that skill.
You look like you're cognitively impaired. I've done it. I've actually watched myself trying to read a teleprompter. They play it back, and I say, Jesus, I didn't realize I had a TIA. I mean, it really is true. It is clearly a skill set. And circling back, Gary, did you find the other one for us?
Yeah, I've got two more for you, actually. You want the famous one that you referenced, Adam?
So Kamala's latest offering is on the subject of lynching, which now evidently is illegal, Mark. So you need to know that.
I've got something to say on the other side. Okay.
To state unequivocally that lynching is and has always been a hate crime. And to make clear that the federal government may now prosecute these crimes as such. Lynching is not a relic of the past. Racial acts of terror still occur in our nation. And when they do, we must all have the courage to name them and hold the perpetrators to account.
A very controversial stance on hate crimes and lynching in 2022. Mark, thoughts?
Look, she's a former prosecutor. This has, and it's not something that is just by her, but a lot of prosecutors, they love to do this idea of bringing in hate crimes or bringing in this case, lynching. You know, it's already against the law. It's already a crime. It's covered by probably, I don't know, I conservatively say, if you lynch somebody in where I am in Denver here, I can probably look at the Colorado statutes and find 20 different statutes that would not only hold you responsible for the criminal act, but punish you more severely than the new law. I don't understand why we just have to have, you know, like a 31 flavors of crimes for a crime that's already covered in the book. I guess it makes people feel better, but I don't know why we have to, why the criminal justice system has to do so much of the heavy lifting in all of these areas. The criminal justice system can barely keep it together as is, let alone having to carry the weight of social justice.
And finally, the video, the word salad video that we had about what we're doing with COVID.
Does the administration say, you know what, this strategy isn't working. We're going to change strategies. Six former administration officials last week wrote that open letter urging the administration to change course, to change strategy. Is it time?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down. And so right now we know we still have a number of people that is in the million.
Oh, I think
isn't there another
got clipped.
Isn't there another one? It did get clipped. There's another one also where she's standing at a podium talking about time. Also, she's really heavily into the time space continuum right now.
I agree. She's gone Rod Sterling on us. But what do you? What do you attribute to?
That is, I was doing a mock cross-examination the other day in a case that will remain nameless. And I didn't know about the case. They just asked me, they're going to put a witness on. They wanted me to do a mock cross. And I did a mock cross. And afterwards, the people who were trying the case were very favorably impressed with what I did. And I said, you shouldn't be that impressed. The skill set that I was using on this mock cross is when I have absolutely no idea what is happening with the witness or the case, and I'm just winging it. And that's exactly what she was doing right there. She was winging it. It is a trial lawyer kind of refuge where you don't have any, you know, he's asking a question. My guess is, if I'm going to speculate, she didn't know what he was talking about with the six former experts who had written the letter. And so she was basically, it's funny she's talking about time, because she was doing the old Dean Smith, North Carolina, four quarters offense, running out the clock. And that's exactly, the only way I can make sense of it is, she didn't know about the letter. She wanted to run out the clock, so she started talking about time, because there's no other explanation for it.
Well, with the few minutes we have left, because I know you have a hard out today, the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping case.
Yeah, this is stunning to me. And it's stunning for this reason. I know there was a lot. There was a back and forth about when this case happened, and there was a huge back and forth as to whether or not in a reveal, if you will, that one of the kind of orchestrators or the persons who was smack dab in the middle of this turns out to be an FBI informant. Well, guess what? In the courtroom, in the federal district court, yesterday and today, I believe it's still going on as we speak, this person, they basically conceded it. It was conceded that the idea that they were talking about these various things. It's a very interesting issue, because they were saying that what has happened is that the government has constructed a crime here out of these guys blowing off a lot of this kind of anti-government rhetoric, and that the FBI informant was there trying to guide it back to a crime, when in actuality, the defense of these guys is centered upon the fact they were just saying, basically, they believe that government is doomed to fail, and they want to be ready when government fails, and this is what they were going to do. And the defense's characterization of this FBI informant is that the FBI informant was trying to drag them over onto the side of government's already failed, we've got to do something right now. And that is going to be the crux of what the jury has to decide in this case. And to me, it's fascinating, because it goes back to your crystal brain when, and you can describe it, I'm sure you will, you said in real time, and nobody else was saying, in fact, I thought you got pilloried at the time, that there was more to this under the rubric of your theory. If it sounds too incredible to begin with, generally it is.
Well, it's also the rubric of, what is CNN's version of this? And when I hear CNN's version of something, sometimes it's this kind of crime. Sometimes it's, how effective is natural immunity? How effective is this ivermectin or hydroxyl? When I hear them going hard a direction, I always pause and go, why so hard? And then I just go back and try to find other official particulars. Speaking of the law, very quickly, curveball here, but there's much ado about Clarence Thomas's wife doing a lot of tweeting during the riot / insurrection, and how he should recuse himself from further this and that. A lot of noise being made about that. What's your 2-minute take on that?
Well, I'm one of the guys who was anti tagging the spouse when it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's spouse, Marty, who was, getting a lot of flack for things. He wasn't fomenting an insurrection, is what people would say. But I don't know that you visit the rights or the detriments on the spouse and this idea of recusal. The Supreme Court has some of the most non-rule rules when it comes to recusal to begin with. And, you know, your spouse doesn't forfeit their First Amendment rights just because you go into some particular job. You do forfeit other things in other situations. For instance, if you can't be a spouse or a family member of somebody who's got inside information on stock trading or this or that. But the idea that she can't talk to or text with the chief of staff of the president when this is going down, I think is chilling of free speech. And I know that that's not popular on my side of the aisle, but you've got to be consistent when it comes to free speech.
A positive and important note to go out on. I know they need you back wherever you need to be. So we'll excuse Mark and we'll take care of some business here.
Fake an excuse, as we tell the jurors. Goodbye. Thank
Goodbye.
You,
all right. Let me tell you about Geico. Would you love to save some money on your auto insurance? Well, of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates, insurance for everything? There's Geico. They can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condos, or renters coverage as well. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance. And when you switch to Geico, well, that's what you call a no-brainer. Switch today. See just how much you could save. Go to geico.com. All right, and go to amcrola.com for all the live shows. Helium coming up in Indianapolis. That'll be May 6th and 7th. Then we head out to Denver. That'll be June 25th and 24th and 25th. Comedy Works South over there. I think we're going to be at Sea Legs before that, Gary, but it's somehow popped off the
it's thing. Just being covered by one of those other notes that's down there at the bottom of your live screen. Yeah. Sorry
well,
about that.
Either way, just go to amcrow.com for all the live stuff, and you can check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/reasonable doubt podcast, and Truth Yeller at Daily Wire. Me and Shatner up there. Very funny episode. So till next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Geragos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV. Plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
Geico.
Oh, yeah.
Geico. Would you love to save money on insurance? Boy, I sure would. Of course. Who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, your truck, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV, even homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. Save even more with a special discount when you bundle coverages. Plus, get this. Add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24-hour roadside assistance, and the switch to Geico is basically a no-brainer. So switch today. See how you could save. Simply go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Get a rate quote or contact your local agent.
Hello, everyone. This is Mike.
And this is Gibby.
And we're the hosts of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. If you haven't already, we'd love to invite you to come check us out. Starting in January of 2017, we've amassed over 230 episodes of some of the most intriguing unsolved cases in true crime history. We cover some of the very big unsolved cases, but we also like to cover some of the lesser known cases, some that you may have never heard of. We dive into the details. We talk about the victims, their life, the circumstances around their disappearance or murder, and we cover the potential suspects and persons of interest. We try to give you all the known facts you need to satisfy your amateur detective. We like to think that we don't take ourselves all that seriously, but we take true crime very seriously. You can listen to True Crime All the Time Unsolved now on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you want to.